an Osho talk. Zen, the Diamond Thunderbolt, number 7.
When Ganto took leave of Tokusan, Tokusan said, "Where are you going?" Ganto said, "For now, I am taking leave of you, Master, and going down the mountain." Tokusan said, "After that, then what?" Ganto said, "I won't forget you, Master." "By virtue of what do you say this?" inquired Tokusan. Ganto said, "Haven't you heard that when a monk's knowledge is equal to his teacher's, he has less than half his teacher's virtue? When his knowledge surpasses the teacher's, only then is he qualified for the transmission." Tokusan said, "So it is. So it is. Guard it well on your own."
Before I discuss the anecdote placed before me, I have few urgent things to say. One is, one of my very intimate and ancient enemy, ex-Prime Minister Morarji Desai, has been thrown out of his home by the Supreme Court. At this age, he must be more than 90. He has been occupying the house Oceana on the Marine Drive for 22 years illegally. But he was in power. So the owner of the house could not do anything. But now he is no more in power. He is weeping before the news media that I have been made homeless. I would like to invite him to be part of my ashram here on two conditions. One, he has to go under a test for his AIDS, and he has to produce the negative certificate. Secondly, he has to drop his dirty old habit of drinking his own urine. That is prohibited here. He can bring his spinning wheel. It is innocent. And we will not ask him anything else. He can go on spinning his wheel day and night. We will provide him every facility that is possible. Although while he was in power, he has tried constantly to destroy this asana, not knowing that finally only this ashram will provide him a home. Life takes strange curves. Secondly, almost from all over India, all the progressive and intelligent newspapers, magazines, have supported my statements against the Shankaracharya Puri. But few Hindu chauvinists have criticized me. I have to answer them. One criticism has appeared in many papers by a certain man, Sharma. It is hilarious to know that people don't even understand the meaning of their surname. Sharma comes from Sarman, and Sarman was the lowest Brahmin class who used to butcher cows in their religious rituals. Sarman means the butcher. Still, people go on writing behind their name Sharma, not knowing that they are declaring their butcherhood and their forefathers' ugly violence. He has been writing against me that I should not ask for a negative AIDS test from Shankaracharya because he is celibate. How does he know? Because he is a religious head. That does not mean that he cannot have AIDS. In fact, particularly because he is celibate and religious head, there is more possibility of having AIDS than in any other profession. It is now a proved fact all over the world that the priests have been found to be homosexuals. And many of the priests are suffering from AIDS. We cannot make any exception for anybody. In fact, the Shankaracharya of Puri has declared himself Harijan. According to his own scriptures, he should not enter into any temple, his own temple included. And if he enters in any temple, that means Harijans can temple in any, enter in any temple around the country. People have been deceiving just by changing names. All the Hindu scriptures call them Sudras, untouchables. Suddenly they have become beloved of God, Harijan. And if they are beloved of God, who are all these bastards, 5 billion in the world? And only the God's beloved are not allowed to enter in the temples. And everybody else is allowed. Religion and politics together have been the greatest calamity of humanity. Not a single politician has spoken against Shankaracharya's statements, because they are afraid that if Harijans separate from Hindus, although Hindus have for thousands of years kept them separate, there is no need to be separate, they are separate. The politician is worried not about the temple, not about the scriptures. His worry is that Harijans have 1/4 votes of Hindus. If they go out of the Hindu fold, these politicians will be out of power. They are completely silent on such an important issue. And rather than arresting the priests who were preventing Harijans to enter in Nathdwara, the Harijans have been arrested. And still these politicians and priests want that Harijans should remain part of Hindu society. There is a limit to everything. This is too much inhuman. They cannot read your scriptures. They cannot touch you. Not even their shadow can touch you. They cannot remain in the city. They have to live outside the city. They cannot enter into any temple. On what grounds they are Hindus? And this fellow Sharma is blaming me that I am trying to create a separation. I am not creating a separation, Sharma. It is you and your forefathers who have kept the Harijans separate. I am trying to bring them into the temples. And if you want them to be part of your politics, then forget your scriptures and let them in the temples. Even a man like Mahatma Gandhi lied. Although he has written his autobiography titled My Search for the Truth, obviously he does not know truth. He is still searching. But meanwhile he is using so many lies. He has promised that the first President of India, after the British have left, is going to be a Harijan. Not only a Harijan, but a Harijan woman. And as British Empire disappeared, the man who became the President was neither Harijan nor a woman. The man who became the Prime Minister, the whole power went again into the hands of those same exploitators who have been oppressing this country for centuries. From the Britishers, it moved into the hand of the old exploitators, but India remains under slavery. Because I am telling the truth, it hurts. Mahatma Gandhi used to pray every evening and morning that God is one. You can call him Ram, you can call him Allah. Just to keep the Hindu and Mohammedans together for political reasons. But he never mentioned Quran. He always mentioned Gita and called Gita his mother. Although he is dead, but I want to be it on record, then Quran must be his father. His eldest son, Haridas, married a woman, Mohammedan, and converted himself into Mohammedanism. It was a true test of Mahatma Gandhi's honesty, integrity. He failed in it. He said to his wife that Haridas cannot enter into my house again. And I don't want to see him even when I die. The tradition in India is that when the father dies, the eldest son gives fire to the funeral pyre. Gandhi's anger was so much that he willed it, that Haridas will not be allowed even near his funeral pyre. He will be dead, but his anger, Haridas will not be allowed to give fire to his dead body too. And the whole world thinks he was a man of peace. And the whole world thinks he was a Mahatma, a great soul. My foot. He has said that this country will be divided only into India and Pakistan over his dead body. But the country was divided with his consent, and he completely forgot what he was saying continuously, that while I am alive, the country cannot be divided. And he was the one who was responsible to divide the country. And he was the one who gave untouchables the name Harijan. But he himself never tried that Harijans should be allowed their dignity as human beings, because he could not offend a higher Hindu caste. Harijans are perhaps the longest exploited group of people, utterly crushed. But not the Prime Minister of India, Rajiv, has spoken against Shankaracharya. In fact, he will go and touch his feet just to gain votes of the high caste Hindus. Those 200 Harijans could not be arrested without Rajiv's knowing. It will be good when Shankaracharya gathers courage to come here, Rajiv is also invited. Because these politicians and the priests together are the cause of the poverty of this country, slavery of this country. But they are interested only in their power. I am not a politician, but they seem to be very much afraid of me. It is a strange story that even Indians coming to the ashram are being harassed by the police. Police sent from Delhi, the central government, and Hindus and Indians are being asked their passport in their own country. It is against the very constitution. It is against the freedom of movement. In one's own country, you have to carry your passport. One has never heard such stupidity happening anywhere in the world. But India is really a genius in being stupid. It was strange that India is in such poverty, is wasting $190 million on advertising in other countries for tourists to come to India. And on the other hand, when my people come to here, they are harassed in every possible way. And my people are pouring 1 crore rupees per day in Pune's economy. If government was a little intelligent, instead of being 7,000 people here, there would have been 100,000 sannyasins from all over the world. I wanted Pune to be the capital of the world. But because of these idiots, Rajiv is perfectly aware that it was me who has supposed Indira Gandhi to train Rajiv for being the Prime Minister. He is taking revenge with me because he knows I was the person, and he was afraid, and Indira told that, what can I do? You try to convince him. He does not want to leave his service as a pilot in the Indian Airlines. And now that he is the Prime Minister, when he was just a pilot, he was asking again and again to come here to see me, to ask my advice. And now he is the person in power who is trying all around the world through the Indian embassies not to give visas to anybody who is coming to Pune. Pune has become my personal property. And I want the whole world to know that if people are harassed Because they are coming to Pune, then no tourist should come to India. Then let them suffer the whole loss and stop your Department of Tourism, and the whole ministry is meaningless because you are doing contradictory things. On the one hand, you invite people to see relics of Ajanta and Ellora. Now they are advertising in Japan very heavily for the Buddhists to come to Bodh Gaya, where Buddha became enlightened. And they are preventing people to come here where Buddha is still alive. Not only alive, but is ready to impart the same consciousness to anybody who is receptive. Bodh Gaya can have no meaning at all. It is just a graveyard. I want my sannyasins to be aware that don't be in any way defensive in Indian embassies. Make them aware that your government is inviting us. All these posters and advertisements in television, in radio, in newspapers, and who are you to prevent us? 100s of sannyasins have been sent back from Indian airports just the suspicion that they must be my sannyasins. Perhaps many may not have even known my name. Few sannyasins who have come, they had to deny. They don't know me anything. Do you want us to know something about Bhagwan before we can enter India? They had to give a promise that they are not going to Bhagwan. What kind of fear? The fear of truth. Because politics is the profession of lying, just as priesthood is. We have to fight around the world with all kinds of priests and all kinds of politicians. It is a question of the very survival of freedom on the earth. Manisha has asked, when Ganto took leave of Tokusan, Tokusan said, "Where are you going?" Ganto said, "For now I am taking leave of you, Master, and going down the mountain." Tokusan said, after that, then what? Ganto said, I won't forget you, Master. By virtue of what do you say this? Inquired Tokusan. Ganto said, have not you heard that when a monk's knowledge is equal to his teacher's, he has less than half his teacher's virtue? When his knowledge surpasses the teacher's, only then is he qualified for the transmission. Tokusan said, so it is. So it is. Guard it well on your way. In the translation, the most significant part is always last. Tokusan is a great master. Ganto was a student, not even a disciple. Because a disciple never takes leave of the master. A disciple becomes almost a part of the very being of the master. There arises an invisible connection between the two halves. They dance together. But Ganto must have been just a student, collecting knowledge from this master, from that master. He was not even aware between the distinction between the teacher and the master. Neither about the distinction between the disciple and the student. A student is concerned with knowledge. Disciple is concerned with being. He just wants to be at the highest peak of his own potentiality. He does not want to carry scriptures unnecessarily on his back. He wants the lotus to blossom within his own being. A disciple is not a student. A disciple is a lover. The student is only collecting knowledge. Naturally, he has heard Ganto. Tokusan said, where are you going? If you are really a disciple, there is no going, no coming anymore. You have found the the catalytic agent which is going to transform your being. But if you are going, at least I can ask you where. It is out of compassion that Tokusan is asking Ganto that please understand, going away from here is going away from yourself. By accident you have come very close to the explosion. And where are you going now? When the spring is to come, you are going. When the flowers are going to blossom in all their colors, you are going. Where are you going? Ganto could not understand. A student is very poor as far as existential experience is concerned. Ganto said, "For now, I am taking leave of you, master, and going down the mountain." Now he does not know the difference between master and teacher. He has no right to call Tokusan master. In dictionary it means the same thing. But life is not a dictionary. The master is one who can transmit his being to you, who can just by his being present create a situation so that you become a fire. The teacher can only talk about what the scriptures say. The master is only a presence, a silence. Even in his words, he is trying to help you to move towards the worldless. But Ganto was in sheer confusion. He said, "For now I am taking leave of you, master. If I would have been in place of Tokusan, I would have ordered Sardar Gurdayal Singh to take care of this fellow Ganto, hit him 3 times. He cannot use the word master. Although he is using it synonymous to teacher, and going down the mountain, Tokusan said, after that, then what? What you will do down the mountain? From there, where are you going? Ganto said, I won't forget you, master. It is not a question of forgetting the Master. It is a question of carrying the Master within your heart, not in your memory. It is carrying the same flame within you, not in your thoughts. Ganto said, "I won't forget you, Master," again and again. It is becoming clearer that he is simply a student. Tokusan asked him, "By virtue of what do you say this, that you will not forget me? On what grounds?" He is saying, "You have not even known me. On what grounds you are saying that you will not forget me? How can you forget someone you have not known either? Before forgetting, at least the basic requirement is to know. By what virtue? Are you saying this?" Ganto said, and this is a quotation from ancient Buddhist scriptures, "Have not you heard that when a monk's knowledge is equal to his teacher's, he has less than half his teacher's virtue? When his knowledge surpasses the teacher's, only then is he qualified for the transmission. He does not understand what he is talking about." This statement in the Buddhist scriptures has nothing to do with knowledge, it has something to do with knowing. That's how in translations things change their color. Knowing is an existential thing. Knowledge is just memory. Even a computer has knowledge because he has memory. By memorizing scriptures, you don't prove your intelligence. You only prove that you are a good computer. The scriptures certainly say this, that if the disciples knowing is even half of his master's knowing, he also has half the virtue that his master has. But if his knowing surpasses the teacher's, only then is he qualified for transmission. in the translation, everything has become topsy-turvy. You cannot surpass the Master's knowing, because the Master, in the ultimate sense, knows nothing. And how can you surpass nothing? Do you think is there any possibility? Something can be passed, but nothing can be surpassed. Nothing is vast and limitless. How can you surpass it? But Tokusan is one of the great compassionate teachers. Rather than hitting him, out of compassion he simply says, "Yes, it is so, so it is. Guard it well on your own. I take my responsibility about you. Now you are on your own. Be on guard." What he is saying, in fact, is that now I am no more concerned with you. You are breaking all the bridges between you and me. Whatever you think you have understood, guard it well and be on your own. No master can force anybody to be enlightened. No master can create a fetter for the disciple. No master will say, "Remain with me." It is the disciple's heart that wants to remain. It is not an order from the side of the Master. It is the love from the side of the disciple. It is a great love affair, the great matter. You can understand it because you are not students. And this is not a university. This is simply a gathering of seekers who have fallen in love with a master, who have recognized in their deepest heart that this is the place where they belong. But it is not an order. From my side you are absolutely free. If nobody comes here, I will still come every evening to talk to the bamboos. It is your decision to be here or not to be here. But Toku-san is compassionate, saying that if you are leaving, then just be on guard. You can go astray very easily. You have not understood anything. A haiku by Boryu. Cloud above lotus, it too becomes a Buddha. I love this haiku particularly for this series. It is dedicated to the clouds. A cloud above lotus, it too becomes a Buddha. To be a Buddha is everybody's right. If you don't claim it, it is only your fault. Recognize it and live it, and you will be suddenly surprised that everything in your life is changing just by the recognition that your inner being is already a Buddha. Already awakened, but you have not taken care. The English word ignorance is beautiful, but not in the sense as it is understood. To me, it means ignoring your Buddhahood. That is ignorance, the only ignorance. Ignoring your Buddhahood, the only ignorance. Knowing your Buddhahood, the only knowledge. Saigo's verse runs, what it is, I know not, but with gratitude my tears fall. Just today, Leela has sent a question to me that people who are doing the lotus meditation in the third stage, the watcher on the hills, many start feeling tears coming for no reason at all. What has to be done about it? Leela, nothing has to be done about it. This is simply beautiful. These tears are not of pain. These tears of people in silence are of gratitude. These are just flowers. They are pouring and to the feet of existence itself. Rejoice in their tears. Remember this saying of Saigo, a great master. What it is, I know not. But with gratitude, my tears fall. Manisha has asked the unsurpassable man, would you agree that your disciples will have only proved themselves when they surpass you, or do we need only to surpass ourselves? The moment, Manisha, you surpass yourself, then there is no you and no I. When the disciple surpasses himself, there is a great meeting of consciousnesses. Just as lovers meet at a very lower status, in meeting of bodies, the master and disciple meet at the highest altitude as pure consciousness, as two clouds merging into each other. There is no question of surpassing the master, because when you have surpassed yourself, you will not find any master, you will not find any disciple. You will find only a pure consciousness, which is one. Before we enter into this one consciousness, few small laughters, just to make the journey a little light. Old Mrs. Bathead and Mrs. Cooch meet on holiday and are sitting on the porch of their Catskill Mountain Hotel. Oh my God! Exclaims Mrs. Bathead, look at that boy. Did you ever see such a big twisted nose and such a huge crooked mouth? And look, he's cross-eyed too. That, says Mrs. Cooch, happens to be my son. Well, says Mrs. Bathead, on him it looks very becoming. Kowalski and Nurdaski stagger out of the bar, stumble over to a lamp post, unzip, take things in hand, and start to pee. A cop sees them standing there, walks over and says, "Hey, you two, put those things away and stop what you are doing. Where do you think you are? In India?" The two Polaks zip up their pants obediently, but when the calf has gone, Kovalevsky starts to laugh. "What is so funny?" asks Nurdaski. "I fooled that calf," says Kovalevsky. "I put it away, but I did not stop." Jemima and Bevela are hanging out on the front porch. "Did you hear about Mrs. Berrypatch having quadruplets?" says Jemima. "Well, the hell are they?" cries Bevela. "Dumb pluck," says Jemima. "That is when you have four babies in one go, and I heard that it only happens once every 60,000 times." "Glory Jesus, how is Bavala? When the hell does that woman ever get her housework done?" Dodeski and Semus are totally drunk, stumbling down the street in opposite directions. When they see each other, they run as fast as they can to meet and shake hands. As they do, Dodeski looks puzzled and says, "Begging your pardon, sir, it is not you." "Ah, my," says Semus, "I thought it was you, but it is not." "Yeah," says Dodeski, "you thought I was me, and I thought you was you, and actually it was neither one of us." In this insane world, just few minutes of sanity now. Nivedana, give the beat and everybody goes crazy. close your eyes. Let your body become almost frozen, no movement. Gather your consciousness inward. Deeper and deeper, without any fear. Because it is your own sky, and there are no clouds, no obstacles. Just go like an arrow, in and in. At this moment you are the Buddha. Remember it, guard it, because it is your ultimate treasure. This is your height, this is your depth, this is you in your eternity. To make it more clear, Nivedano, relax. Let go, be dead, so that you can feel the contrast between the body and consciousness. The body is only a temporary house. A caravansarai, an overnight stay. In the morning we have to go. But the consciousness is the eternal pilgrim, a journey without any beginning and without any end. What a journey of dances and songs and music and poetry, a journey festive. A ceremony without any reason. Just being is enough. At this moment, you make this place the holiest place in the world. So many Buddhas, so many people centered in their being. The whole garden is full of roses. Drink it deep. It is the very juice of your immortality. Nivedana. Call on the Buddhas back. Sit down for a few moments. Remembering, rejoicing, recollecting where you have been, keep on guard 24 hours. Remain a Buddha. Alert, aware, joy, so blissful that even others can start feeling your blissfulness. Can we celebrate the meeting of so many Buddhas?